Oh, Yeah. Let's open 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Sister Lydia is thanking the Lord for delivering them all from sickness. Sister Lydia, Tabitha, and Jonathan.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's read from verse 15 up to verse 17. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat,
hallelujah,
thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude.
Amen.
For the battle is not yours, but
Amen.
Yours.
Amen.
Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, Amen. They come up by the cliff of Ziz, uh-huh, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle.
Amen.
Amen.
Set yourselves.
Amen.
Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you.
Amen.
O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not,
Amen,
nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them,
Amen,
for the Amen. Lord will be with you."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, may you bless your Lord Jesus. Help us to enter into the place that you desire us to be.
Amen.
As we thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for this
day. Amen.
Thank you for your healing touch upon our sister, upon the children. Father, prayers have already been prayed upon this night. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be seated. Let's just take a thought here before we put ourselves before the Lord. Having a look at this prayer of Jehoshaphat. I don't know anybody, I'm sure a lot of saints do know this chapter. But if you go back to the beginning, let's read verse 1 just to give an understanding of what's going on here. This is going to show the response of faith in crisis. And it says in verse 1, chapter 20, it says, "It came to pass after this also." But there's something real good in the scripture when it says, "It came to pass."
Amen.
Because a believer is never far from trial. But the trials of a believer, they come and they pass.
Amen.
But you just want to make sure that they don't do damage when they come.
Amen.
Until they pass. No, so if you stand against it in faith, it'll come and it'll pass and you will have learned something.
Amen.
Because everything that comes before a believer is permitted of the Lord. The Lord doesn't allow these things to happen for nothing.
Amen.
And if you read the previous chapter, you'll see Jehoshaphat, he had made his mistakes in chapter 18, going on with Ahab. But he really, really learned his lesson. And he was trying to set everything in order. He was trying to set Israel in order. The chapter before the chapter 19, you'll see he's really diligent about the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like that, these seasons of life. You get to chapter 20, it comes to pass that the enemy brings a surprise attack upon him. He doesn't really expect this to happen at this time. It was a very fruitful season that he had been in. And then you find out there's a surprise attack from these Moabites and so forth. It says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Joshua to battle. Then they came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Jenny.'" They were already in the promised land.
Mm.
This was a real surprise. He didn't expect this at this kind of a time.
Mm.
Friends, Satan is an opportunist.
Yes, sir.
But Satan listens to the boss.
Amen.
You know, when Satan comes, it's a surprise attack to you, but it's not a surprise to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Now, Jehoshaphat, look at his first response. It's like
hallelujah.
Us.
Amen.
It says that Jehoshaphat, verse 3, he feared. There's nothing wrong with fear.
Mm.
No, there's nothing wrong. It just depends on what you allow fear to do to you.
Yes.
Because if you allow the great use of fear, fear helps you quickly to put your priorities in order.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of other things that you may pay attention to, but when fear comes, you're going to focus on the things that are important.
Yes. Amen.
And you find fear came. When Joshua feared, and he said, "Hey, the enemy is coming upon us. We didn't expect this." And what did he do first? Does it say he got his army together and he got the generals and he sat down and he discussed the tactics of war? He sent all of the army out and he says, go to Jedi. Now go and get the garrison from Jericho. He didn't do that.
Yes. Amen.
This was a man of God.
Amen.
So when the crisis came and the fear came, the first thing that he did, he set himself to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Friends, that's what the scripture is showing us. I'm sure he did tell his son, go and defend. Whatever he had to. I'm not, you know, he was a military man. But the scripture is showing where his priority was.
Amen.
When the conflict came, when the trouble came, he set himself to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And he didn't only set himself to seek the Lord, he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah.
Amen.
Why did he proclaim a fast throughout Judah? Because all of Judah was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a personal struggle, a personal issue that Jehoshaphat was facing up to. This was a challenge to the whole of the of the kingdom of Judah. So he said, look, everybody's in danger, the men, the women, the children. He says, let everybody come and let's seek the Lord. You know, there's some people you can really tell, they would prefer it that let the brothers do the praying. You know, you find that. Let the women and the children stay at home like in some of the ways they did things in the synagogue. No, friends.
Amen.
When we have challenges, when we have decisions that need to be made, that affects every single one of us.
Yes.
It affects the ministers, it affects the officers, it affects the youth, it affects the married couples, the single people, it affects the Sunday school.
Amen.
So therefore, we do like Jehoshaphat. We call upon us and all of Judah comes now to seek the face of the Lord, because these things we face up to, they affect to all of us.
Amen.
That these are things which we need to get things right from the beginning. So he proclaims a fast. And why did he proclaim a fast? What was the purpose of this? You know, there's only one thing that the covenant people need fear, and that's sin.
Amen.
There's nothing else you need to fear.
Amen.
He realized we are the children of the covenant. We're in our covenant land, and the enemies come against us.
Mm.
So the only thing we need to make sure here
is
that there's nothing between us and the God of the covenant.
Amen.
Because no matter what happens to us, He's permitted it. He's allowed it to happen. So we've just got to make sure that the channel is clear between us and Him.
Amen.
And that's the revelation of a believer
in
trial. The first thing you do is you search your life.
Amen.
When the enemy comes in as a challenge, the first thing you make sure, two chapters before this, he's displeased the Lord going out with Ahab. And the prophet came and told him, wrath has gone out from the Lord against you. So in the moment of the enemy comes again, Joshua's thinking, but hey, was everything clear back there? Let's call everybody together. Let's seek the face of God.
Amen.
Let's proclaim a fast to make sure that the channel's clear here. Because this is a great enemy that's come against us. You know, fasting in itself, what is the act of fasting? There's many reasons that you may desire to fast. If you're fasting for deliverance from sin, the very act of what you're doing, separating yourself from food, separating yourself from drink, separating yourself from the pleasures of life and the pleasures of the day, is an outward manifestation of an inward desire that you have. You wanted to separate yourself from that sin. You wanted to separate yourself from that offense. So you're separating yourself to show Lord. You know, it shows the sincerity of what's inside of your heart is being expressed outwardly. And the second thing which the pastor is showing is saying, Lord, I'm going to separate myself for a season because I don't have power in myself to overcome this thing.
Amen.
I may try to separate myself from my sin, but you're the only one who gives me power for me to be delivered from that sin.
Amen.
And that's why fasting is humbling yourself before the Lord. You're separating yourself because it's, you know, you're putting your plea to the Lord.
Yes.
You're putting an outward manifestation of an inward desire.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, Lord, we're helpless without you. You know, we can try this, we can try that, but without your power, the situation's not going to change.
Amen.
Without your grace, without your mercy intervening, no matter what I do, it's all it takes.
Amen.
And that's what they realized here in 2 Chronicles 20. Joshua realized that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a great host that had come upon them.
Mm-hmm.
He realized, we're not going to win this battle by power and by might.
No,
we're not going to be able to do that. You know, we need the grace of God. So you're trying to remove anything between you and the Lord. That's the first thing that a believer orders to. You always search yourself.
Yeah.
Now, you won't be looking at other things, you search yourself, because you know, as long as that channel is open, as long as I'm standing in the covenant land, and I'm under the blood of the covenant, and I'm standing on the promises of the covenant, friends, faith will be satisfied with that.
Amen.
It will be more than satisfied with that. And that's right, this was a national crisis, so they called for a national fast. Yeah, and that's a good thing. The prophet says they used to do that in America and countries in days gone by. They'd call for a day of fasting and prayer when there was a challenge, when there was war, big decisions that need to be made. Yeah, but they don't do that anymore. And that's why the world's got into the condition that it is. But you're a believer, we shouldn't do that. Verse 4, it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Ah, friends, that's a good thing to do.
Amen.
That's a good thing to do it yourself.
Yes.
But it's even better to gather together to ask help of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we hear for tonight. In our decisions, in the things which we need the Lord to help us in, we've gathered together to ask help of the Lord.
Amen.
Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. One thing you'll see with Joshua and the children of Israel, they had a revelation of the importance of going to church.
Amen.
They had a revelation that it's not enough just to stay at home. But you need to come together. You need to gather together. That's why as believers we should never get to a stage to be satisfied just to come on a Sunday.
Yes.
I don't ever want to be satisfied inside of my soul. And no soul of any genuine believer will ever be satisfied just with Sunday worship. Because when you know the children of God have gathered together in the place that He has chosen to place His name, the auspices of the message of the hour, and there's such a great promise that the two or three are gathered together, I'll be with them in their midst. Our friend, and then you can be satisfied sitting at home doing something else. I don't understand that kind of Christianity.
Amen.
I'm glad I never had that inside of my heart ever since I was born again.
Amen.
I was never satisfied.
Amen.
To miss a service when you could be there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, friend, it's a sign of a sick soul.
Yes.
Amen.
It's a sign of a spiritual disease.
Amen.
And not something that you want to get used to, or something that you want to pamper inside of your heart.
Amen.
But it's something you need to take to the great physician.
Yes.
It's something where you need to seek the balm in Gilead to heal you of that malady. Because it'll lead you further than you want to go.
Yeah.
It'll take you far further and keep you far longer than you wanted to stay. You don't want to be that kind of a condition. And you'll find that in this prayer, when Joshua starts to pray, you'll see he had a real revelation, this man. When you find there's a prayer of a man recorded in the Bible, it shows that God really wanted people to understand what pleased Him in that prayer. There's not many prayers recorded in the Bible. So whenever you find there's a prayer, there's a reason that prayer was put there. And you'll find this man, Joshua, he was king, but he was a man who had revelation. He knew what he was doing. He knew the correct way to approach a crisis when it came.
Amen.
Verse 5, so it says, and Joshua had stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. So they came as close as they possibly could to the mercy seat. He could have said, let's meet somewhere else, but he knew where the presence of the Lord was.
Amen.
He knew where God had promised to be. Whenever people had a need, the Lord said, come and seek me at the mercy seat.
Amen.
They knew where he was. And that's why Joshua, he went as close as we could, right to the new court. As far as people that weren't Levites could go. They said, let's get as close to the Lord as we can.
Amen.
At this time. And that's why they proclaimed the fast. Because the Lord had promised to Solomon. He said it in 2 Chronicles. I'll just read it. He says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place.
Amen.
So the children of Judah, they knew the promises God had made. That when Solomon set up the temple and Solomon dedicated the temple and made his prayer, and he asked the Lord, and he says, if evil comes upon the people, if plague comes upon the people, you know, no matter what it is that comes upon the people, if the people will humble themselves and come to this place and call upon your name, Lord, then hear from heaven.
Amen.
Then, Lord, deliver your people. And then the Lord came to Solomon in a dream that night and said, I've heard your prayer. I've accepted it. And that's when the scripture we hear so often, when he said to Solomon in the dream, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their
land.
And Joshua knew God made a promise that if we humble ourselves and we depart from wickedness, if we seek him in this place that he has provided for us to seek him, he's promised to hear from heaven.
Amen.
That was a revelation that he has. He said, I don't need to worry about the size of the army now. I don't need to send my spies out to do too many things. I don't need to be focusing on all these military aspects and all the other aspects, the natural things of life. He says, there's one thing I need at this time is to fulfill the requirements of the word. That's the important thing that I need to do. So they gathered together. Offering you a revelation that there's no better place to seek for refuge than as close to the mercy seat as you can get.
Amen.
That's the best place of defense. That's the best place to fight battles from. Is you draw as close to the mercy seat as you can.
Amen.
And sometimes it's going to need fasting because you're going to find there's a shadow come between you and the Lord.
Yes.
Not a clear channel anymore. It's not a divine reality. Your faith isn't vibrant. There's not something inside of you what you feel is sufficient to face up to the challenge that's come. That's when you need to humble yourselves. That's when you need to gather together. That's when you need to lay aside food and drink. You need to come as to show your need, your helplessness before the Lord. To say, Lord, without you, we're nothing. Because it's not by power and it's not by might. But it's by my spirit,
says the Lord. Amen.
That's what's going to make all of the difference.
Hallelujah.
So he starts to pray. And he says in verse 6, he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? What's he saying? He's saying, Lord, these enemies have come upon us. But you in charge of these people.
Amen.
Yes.
So therefore, this is under your control. Because nothing happens by chance.
That's right.
You, God in heaven, you rule over the nations of the heathen. So you've allowed this to happen for a purpose.
Amen.
And friends, that's one sure way to get rid of fear.
Amen.
Because when you see the hand of God in something, when you realize the prophet says that he's the God of circumstance,
Amen.
That nothing happens to a believer by chance.
Amen.
But God is behind every move.
Amen.
He's testing the reaction to an action.
Amen.
That takes all the bitterness, all of the uncertainty out of trial.
Amen.
When you realize that he's the Lord God in heaven, and he rules over the nation of
Israel. Amen.
So for them to come upon him, he's permitted them to come.
Right.
And that makes all of the difference. He says, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?
Amen.
Our friend, here in Revelation, that, you know, for them to lose that battle, the Lord is going to have to permit it to happen.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the devil had sneaked up on them.
No. Yeah.
This wasn't a surprise attack to the Lord.
Yes.
This was something that God allowed to happen so he could manifest himself on behalf of his children.
Amen.
And that's the revelation that Joshua had.
Amen.
Joshua had a revelation of who his God was.
Amen.
That was the most important thing. He had a revelation of how to approach his God in triumph.
Yes. Amen.
That's a key revelation to have. He had a revelation of where God dwelt.
Amen.
God dwelt in the midst of his people.
Amen.
But he had a real revelation, this man. Nothing happens by chance. Verse 7. He says, art not thou our God?
Amen.
It's really good what he says. In verse 6 he says, O Lord God of our fathers. And then he says, he continues on, he'll say, you're the God of Abraham. Now friends, that's fine. But that's not going to help you in your trouble. He may be the God of Brother Branham. He may be the God of Paul. He may be the God of Moses.
Yes.
But you've got to have a revelation that, are you not our God?
Amen.
And he had the revelation. He says, Lord, you're our God.
Amen.
You're the same God who gave this land to Abraham.
Right.
You're our God. We're your children. Joshua had a revelation of who he was.
Yes.
And that makes all the difference in trial. And sometimes when the eyes get dim and it's not, you don't have a reality of who you are in the economy of God, it's time to call a halt.
Yeah.
It's time to call for a fast.
Yeah.
It's time to humble yourself, to bring yourself, to assemble yourself together, so that God can sharpen those things up once again.
Amen.
So you can get those binoculars back in focus and see things the way that they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Joshua did. He says, art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel?
Amen.
And gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
Friend, he knew this is our land.
Amen.
For those heathen to come in this land, they've got no right.
Yes.
Amen.
This land was given to us
because
we are the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
That was a revelation the man had. The man realized, Lord, I'm going to speak to you about your promises.
Yes.
You gave this land to Abraham.
Amen.
And his seed after. We are your seed.
Amen.
And you said, if we gather in this place and humble ourselves, you will hear from heaven.
Amen.
Hey, friends, when somebody starts praying like that, something's going to happen.
Amen.
Things are going to change.
Amen.
Things are going to start moving.
Amen.
When a person starts approaching God like that,
Amen.
This man knew who he was. He knew who his people was. He knew the right place to gather.
Amen.
He knew the covenant promises
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
He knew, I'm a child of the covenant, and these are the promises of the covenant. We've humbled ourselves to put our sins under the blood so there'd be nothing to stop you from fulfilling your side of the covenant.
Amen.
And he knew that's all that was
Amen.
Required.
Amen.
It says the God of the covenant, we just call him into action here. It doesn't matter how big that army is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many nations have come upon us. God rules over all of them.
Amen.
And his power and might in his hand to turn them any way that he desires. That was the revelation that he had. He says, are you not our God? Verse 8. He says, and they dwelt therein in the promised land, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name.
Mm.
He says, Lord, you are the one appointed this place of worship.
Mm.
You dwell between the cherubim. You are the one who appointed these sacrifices and this priesthood. You are the one who made a provided provision for us to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We didn't do these things. You are the one.
Amen.
You are the one who gave us this place. You are the one who gave us these offerings. You are the ones who allowed us access to the throne of grace.
Yes.
It says, Lord, you've done these things for us. And the reason you did it for us was for just such a time as this.
Yes. Amen.
The reason you provided all of these things, because you knew at these kind of times, we need to use these resources that you gave us. We need to come together as your people, in your place, under your promises, using your appointed sacrifices, and we need to approach you, the God of the covenant, dwelling in the midst of his people. That's what he was saying to his people. Now, in verse 9, he's quoting Solomon. He's taking the Lord's promises back to him.
Amen.
He says, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help.
There's
a confidence the man had.
Amen.
The prophet says, you've got to be certain of God.
Yes.
If the enemy comes upon you, search your life.
Yes.
Put everything under the blood.
Amen.
Use God's provided resource that is given. The covenant blood, the covenant priesthood, Christ the great high priest. Come into his house, gather with his people, humble yourself.
Amen.
Use every resource that is given to you. Then you take the promises while you're standing in his presence and you present them back before the Lord.
Amen.
And you say, Lord, you said.
Yes.
You said. If we'll assemble ourselves, you will hear from heaven.
Amen.
Then you'll heal your land. Now, verse 10. Listen to God speaks to the Lord. He says, and now, behold. I like that. You think the Lord didn't know what was going on? He knew exactly what was going on. But the Lord likes us to speak to Him about it.
Yes.
He says, Lord, come and see. Look what they're doing. Lord, look at the enemies coming into the inheritance. Lord, this is our land. They have no right to be here. Lord, I'm asking you to look. That's what real prayer is. Now, the Lord wants you to order your cause before Him.
Amen.
He knows what He's going to do. He knows exactly why He's allowed it to happen inside of your life. But He wants you to speak to Him about it.
Amen.
He wants you to say, Lord, please, Lord, can't you see the situation that I'm in? Lord, I need your grace here so that I can serve you better.
Amen.
Lord, I need you to minister to my need here. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your grace. I need power, whatever it is. I need deliverance. Lord, can't you see what I'm going through?
Mm.
That's the way that he's praying to the
Lord.
Amen. It's a very good way to pray. Because that's what God wanted him to do. Now when he's come, you come into the Lord and you speak into the Lord.
Yes.
That's how Paul says it. He says, casting all of your care upon him.
Amen.
Because he cares for you.
Amen.
And that's why Job said, if only I knew where he dwelt, I would go and fill my mouth with arguments. I'd go and say, Lord, but is it right that you're so holy can allow the devil to do this?
Hey.
Now he would have gone and spoken to the Lord. That's respectful sense. You know, you're just pointing out to the Lord and saying, Lord, but you said.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, you made a promise. And Lord, I'm a child of the promise.
Yes.
Amen.
Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given unto us to inherit. Right. Now sometimes the devil really takes advantage of ignorance, because we are now him in the Lord's possession.
Amen.
But if you catch a revelation to say, but this is my inheritance.
Amen.
God gave me this as a possession.
Amen.
He gave me the son of mine as a possession.
Amen.
The enemy is coming to possess, but he has no right.
Amen.
And Joshua now is starting to apply the title deed. He's starting to apply the claims of the covenant.
Yes. Amen.
He's starting to say, you made promises to us, Lord.
Yes.
You gave us the covenant. We are your people. We gathered in the right place. Our sins are under the blood.
Yes.
We've humbled ourselves before you. We've gathered together to seek your face. Now, Lord, I'm enforcing the title deed.
Amen.
I'm enforcing the promise of the covenant.
Amen.
This is my possession.
Amen.
The prophet says, you can say, Satan, get your hands off
it.
Amen.
You've got every right.
Yes.
And Joshua realized that you had a right to say, they have no right to come and take this possession. Because this belongs to us.
Amen.
Our friends. When you start praying like that, like this man did with faith, with a real revelation of who he was, in his position as the king of Judah, approaching the God of the covenant through the blood of the covenant, bringing the promises of the covenant, right in the place where the covenant God placed his name, gathered together with the covenant people. Friends, the devil had no place to hide.
Amen.
The devil knew my days are numbered.
Yes.
Now when people start seeking me like this, my days are numbered. He knew that his days were numbered.
Amen.
He says, behold, I say, how they come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them?
Amen.
Lord, you have to judge them.
Amen.
That's what you said that you would do.
Amen.
Lord, the battle's not ours.
Yes, sir.
The enemy is too great. But we are your children. This is our land you gave to us.
Amen.
These are the promises that you made to us. We are your circumcised sons. We are the daughters of the covenant. So Lord, we call him on your name. Won't you judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do.
Amen.
But our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
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 That's wonderful. Amen. There's nothing wrong with a believer coming to the place you don't know what to do. Yes. It's normal.
Yes.
He wants you to come to that place that you don't know what to do.
Amen.
But he wants you to approach it the right way.
Yes.
When fear comes, it's okay. Let fear just focus things once again.
Amen.
Bring you back into line the way that you should be.
Amen.
You don't allow fear to take you away from the covenant.
Amen.
You allow fear to drive you like a wolf drives the lamb back to the shepherd.
Amen.
You allow the trials and the circumstances to push you as close as you can get to the mercy seat. And when you're in those kind of situations, friends, you take the promises seriously.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Take it serious and present what God wants. The promise is all God wants is people to take His word seriously.
Yes, yes,
to come and enforce that word.
Yes,
enforce that claim of the token upon the hand of faith.
Amen.
It makes all the difference. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do.
Amen.
But our eyes are upon Him. And that is our testimony this evening. There's decisions we need to make this evening. There's things we desire to do. We don't know how to do them.
Amen.
But our eyes are upon Him.
Amen.
So we've gathered as His covenant people in the place that He has ordained in this age for His sons and daughters to gather.
Mm.
Under the auspices of the message of the hour. We've come as the royal seed of Abraham.
Yes,
we've come to stand upon the covenant promises of God.
Yes,
that He said He'll provide every
need.
Yes.
Amen.
He says, not one man shall stand against you.
Yes.
All the days of your life.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what He said to Joshua.
Amen.
You shall possess these promises.
Amen.
But sometimes we need to get focused and sharpened.
Amen.
By consecrating ourselves, making sure everything's under the blood.
Amen.
Then we gather together and we put our needs before the Lord.
Amen.
That's how we gather to the same. Wilt thou not judge them? That's why you need to make sure your sins are under the blood.
Amen.
Otherwise, when trials come, the Lord might be judging you.
Yes. Amen.
You see, you want to have confidence.
Mm.
You want to have confidence, say, Lord, judge this enemy. Yeah.
Mm.
That's how the prophet says you can put gallons of oil on somebody's head.
Mm.
And that devil won't move because it's got a legal right. It's got a legal claim. Because that person is disqualifying themselves from the blessings of the covenant through their sins, through their disobedience, through their iniquities. That's why the first thing you need to do is put yourself under the blood.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Confess every sin. Humble yourself before the Lord.
Amen.
And then you can say, Lord, now come and judge.
Amen.
I've already judged myself.
Mm-hmm.
My judgment's already been put away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, let your judgment come on the place that it should come.
Amen.
Won't you judge them, O Lord?
Yes.
Because we have so much, no might. David had a revelation in Psalms. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses.
Mm.
But we will remember the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what Joshua had a revelation of. He says, we're not trusting in our chariots and our horses here.
Yeah?
Mm. We're trusting in the name of the Lord. We're trusting
Amen.
In the promises that He's given to
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Gather together under that. Neither know we what to do. The prophet says, should a believer ever be perplexed? He says, yes. It says to a believer, you are promised many strange feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Many things that perplex you. Paul said, I'm perplexed. We are perplexed on every hand.
Yes, Amen.
He doesn't finish there. He says, but not in despair.
Amen.
Because you always know there's a reason.
That's right.
It doesn't finish with perplexity.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with fear. It starts with perplexity. But as you come, God's provided way. It doesn't finish up like that.
Right.
And Jehoshaphat was perplexed. But he was waiting for the answer.
Mm.
But our eyes are upon Him.
Mm.
It's like we're speaking about faith. Remember, faith doesn't need to know how God's going to do it. He doesn't need to know when is God going to do it.
Mm-mm.
Where is God going to do it.
Mm.
All faith needs to know is who.
Yes.
Amen.
He just knew, if I can just keep my eyes upon you, it doesn't matter about the whens and the whys and the wherefores.
Mm.
Those things will take care of themselves.
Mm.
But if my faith is set in you, if I just have my eyes on a who, the rest of it's going to take care of
itself.
Amen.
And that's why it says, my eyes are upon you. David said in the Psalms, in thee, O God, do we put our trust.
Amen.
Our souls wait on thee.
Mm.
Friends, faith went with an expectation.
Yes. Amen.
Faith starts sensing it's getting through.
Yes. That's right.
Faith starts feeling that channel, something's starting to move.
Amen.
So faith's going to wait. It still doesn't have all the answers, but it has an expectation.
Amen.
He says, our souls wait upon you. Now, who gathered there? Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord. Mm-hmm. With their little ones, their wives and their children. My friends, that's good.
Amen.
Household celebration.
Yeah.
Household worship. And that's all we have today.
Amen.
Why do we need to bring our children? Because it's good for the children to see that when they call upon the covenant, God, he answers.
Amen.
How are they going to learn to trust in them themselves?
Yes.
That's the way they'll see it. They'll say, but hey, hey, hey. When you get together and call his name, something starts to move.
Amen.
They start to feel it themselves. They start to feel his presence. They start to feel his power for themselves. And that starts to give them confidence in his promises.
Amen.
And confidence in the God of the scripture that is real. And that's how we need to gather together with our children.
Amen.
With our wives. We need to all come together because these challenges are for us all.
Yes.
Our families are being challenged.
Mm.
The church is being challenged. The Satan attacks it all. So we need to come together as his people.
Amen.
As a church, as families, as brothers, as sisters, as youth, as Sunday school children, whatever it is.
Mm.
Every single one of us need his grace.
Amen.
In this year and the decisions that you make.
Amen.
So every single one of us should gather.
Hallelujah.
And call upon the name of the Lord. You don't just certain people do it. No, no, no. There's times for everybody to
gather. Amen.
Amen.
To seek the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat, he's had a serious revelation. Like I said, he knew who he was. He's made that claim. He knows he's the seed of Abraham. He knows this land is ours. It's our covenant land. He knows the covenant God and his promises. He knows we've gathered together in the right place. We've gathered exactly the way the Lord told us. We've humbled ourselves. We've offered his prescribed sacrifices. His prescribed priesthood have offered the sacrifices on our behalf. We've come right to the mercy seat. So you know something's going to move.
Yes.
Amen.
And friends, when people gather together and start praying like that, the answer doesn't take time.
Amen.
Amen.
Because as they pray, God answers.
Yes. Amen.
Look at verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation.
Amen.
While they were in the prayer meeting, the Holy Ghost fell upon a Levite. And here came God's answer. As they spoke, God spoke straight back to them.
Friends,
and that's how it should be in
Second
Amen.
Amen.
God might not tell you everything, but you, when you pray, something should respond from heaven.
Amen.
When we gather together, we shouldn't be expecting nothing to happen.
Amen.
We should be expecting as
Amen.
We
Amen.
As we pray, he's going to answer.
Right.
He's going to go and visit Denzel in the hospital.
Amen.
He's going to go and visit Sister Shida back in the hospital.
Amen.
Our expectation Amen. Is in him.
Amen.
As we pray, he says, if you earnestly seek him.
Yeah? Amen.
What does it say about the earnest prayer of a sinner? What? A righteous man, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
That literally makes tremendous power available.
Amen.
It taps into a resource when you start seeking him and praying in that kind of way. When people get serious about prayer,
Amen.
When people approach it the right way, and we come and we enforce these covenant claims upon the devil to say, this is our possession. This is our inheritance, Satan. You have no right to authority.
Hey.
Amen.
Things move right there.
Mm.
Things have to start moving. As they pray. That's the wonderful thing about divine gifts. It wasn't a prophet that it fell upon. It actually was one of the sons of Asaph, one of the singers. These were the musicians. The Holy Ghost fell upon him.
Amen.
And God used him to speak the answer to the people.
Amen.
As they gathered there. It was a speedy answer.
Amen.
When there's a crisis and you have faith in crisis, expect a speedy answer.
Amen.
It's like Jacob. He needed the Lord. He didn't have an extra day before he went to the Esau. He got down to business for the first time. And as he got down to business, something responded from heaven.
Amen.
And he got a speedy answer. And Joshua had the same revelation that before you go to the actual physical battle, you go and wrestle in prayer first. Before you speak to man and resolve things with man, you speak to God and resolve things with God.
Hallelujah.
You get the channel clear. You get everything open between you and God. You get the victory in prayer. Then you just go out and let the things take care of themselves. And that's what Jacob did when he really sought the Lord. So the Holy Ghost falls upon him. That's how Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, but more so that you may prophesy.
Amen.
Because prophecy edifies.
Amen.
And when somebody gets in the Spirit, when you're in the midst of trial, and is quickened by the Spirit, and God speaks to your situation,
Amen.
It builds you up.
Amen.
And it does something, friends. It's a powerful thing. That's why it says, despise not prophesying.
Amen.
That's why I said it. What is prophecy? The real interpretation of what a prophecy is. Something spoken which could only have been known supernaturally.
Amen.
That's what prophecy is. It's when the natural voice speaks something supernatural.
Amen.
It's a supernatural wisdom coming through a natural voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, friends, that makes all the difference. Because what makes the difference in your trial is when you know that God is personally interested in your trial.
Amen.
That God came down and he said to them, gather there. Don't you worry, people. I'm very, very active in the situation.
Amen.
I know what you pray. I've heard your prayer.
Yes.
I'm already at work. That makes all the difference in trial. Verse 15, look what the Lord told them. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. That's faith.
Amen.
God speaks you, gives you faith.
Yes.
Amen.
They were approaching him in the channel of faith. Now something dropped down the channel and told them, don't fear. 365 times in the Bible, the Lord says, fear not.
Amen.
I like that. Like one person once said, once for every day of the year.
Amen.
Because every day there's going to be things which you can face. But fear not. He said, fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. Thou King Jehoshaphat and all of Judah. For the battle is not yours. But the Lord, faith is satisfied. It does not how the battle is going to be. Who's going to do what? When, how, which place? It doesn't really matter.
Amen.
These people are now satisfied. But God always has the answer. He had the answer. He knew exactly how to resolve that situation. He says, verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. So he tells them when, and he tells them where. Hasn't he told them how?
Yes.
But faith doesn't worry about that.
Yes.
Faith just takes the latest revelation, the latest battle orders, instructions, and just follows it out. That's what faith does. And he said in verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Here comes the how. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. What is he saying? God is saying, watch what I'm going to do for you. That's what he's saying. He said, just take it easy. Just stand still. And let me show you what I'm going to do for you. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear ye not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
Now, friends, this is a real good order of service that had so far.
Yes.
Somebody got up and prayed at the beginning of the service. And as soon as he prayed, Joshua, the Spirit came down upon them as a minister.
Yes. Amen.
And then God spoke to them in the preaching of the word.
Yeah.
But it's not a complete service yet. What's next? Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground.
Amen.
And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Friends, it's time for worship. Look at verse 19. How did they worship?
Amen.
And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high.
Yeah.
That's faith. They're worshiping.
Yes.
They've received a substance. Yes. They've received an assurance. You worship before it takes place.
Amen.
Friends, God has spoken to me and I worship him.
Yes.
Amen.
Because as long as he's spoken to me, as long as he's revealed that he's interested in my situation, everything is under control.
Amen.
All I'm going to do now is worship
him.
And I've moved into a worship service.
Hallelujah.
Let's worship. Verse 20. This is faith's expectation.
Yes.
And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Joshua stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inheritance, inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Believe in the Lord your God.
Amen.
So shall you be established.
Yes.
Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper."
Amen.
That was a good morning exhortation to them on the way to battle. The minister gave them a good one. Now look what they did. Verse 21. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord."
Hallelujah.
"That should praise the beauty of holiness."
Amen.
"As they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy to Israel."
Amen.
"And when they began to sing and praise," so they prayed, God's responded, he's spoken to them, but God's not moving yet. But when did God start to move? That says it there. "When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which would come against Judah." God started to move. It's important to worship him. We put our petitions before him. We put our prayer before him. He speaks to us. We speak his promises to him. He speaks divine assurance back to us. Then we enter into worship.
Amen.
And as we worship and as we praise him, God's moving now on behalf of his sons and his daughters. He's already started to dismantle the apparatus of the enemy.
Yes.
He's already started to confound the enemy. And all they were using was what? The weapon of praise.
Yes.
The power of praise.
Yes.
The power of praise.
Yes.
That's all that it took. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment." Verse 23. "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir." The enemy started to fight amongst themselves. "Utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." Isn't that wonderful? Those that are plotting against you, you start worshiping the Lord. They end up fighting with each other.
Always
happens. Always happens. Those that dig a hole for you to fall in, you worship the Lord. They fall into the Lord. That's what the scripture says.
Yes.
But you've got to follow this order, friends.
Amen.
God put this here for a purpose. That is a real model prayer that he prayed.
Amen.
There was a revelation in the man's prayer. And the order of that service was divine.
Yes.
They just said, "Look, King Joshua, we'll get up and open the service in a word of prayer." Friend, when the man prayed, God came down.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, God came down right from the opening prayer.
Amen.
The musicians hadn't even started yet. And God was speaking to the people. And then they got into worship. And their worship did something, friends. It's like when the children of Israel went around the walls of Jericho seven times. They were just worshiping the Lord. Shout! The walls fell down. Hey, God uses very unusual weapons to get the job done sometimes, right? But these are divine weapons. The weapons of our warfare, not carnal,
Amen.
But are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what the scripture says. Verse 24, "And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen into the earth, and none escaped." And what did they do now? "And when Joshua and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much." The devil gets a black eye every time. He thinks he's got you by surprise. You end up spoiling him. You end up being enriched by what you've been through.
Amen.
You gather great riches through the experience of what you've been through. That's why the Lord allows it to happen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And now the people had the revelation of praise. What did they do next? "And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. And there they blessed the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berica unto this day.
Amen.
And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet.
Amen.
For his God gave him rest round about.
Amen.
For a season.
Amen.
That's the way that it works. Then the Lord gives you rest for a season. And then he allows the next trial to come. To enrich you in trial. To teach you to pray. To teach you the importance of gathering in his house. To teach you the importance of the covenant people of God. To teach you the importance of getting to the place that he has chosen to place his name. To teach you the importance of these things. Friends, I'm sure we've learned many things in the days gone by. But we need him now more than ever.
Yes.
Right. We thank the Lord for victories past. We thank him for grace in days gone by. But we have perplexity before us. We have questions that need to be answered. We have things we need to do, but we need the Lord to show us the way that we can do that. We need him to go before in the mulberry trees. So we've gathered like Judah in his provided place. And we've come to put ourselves before him in prayer. To bring his promises before him upon this evening. And to enforce claims.
Amen.
These things that are holding our possession from us. So let's do that as we come to pray. Let's in one song sense. Let's put ourselves before the Lord in prayer. Whatever it is that the Lord lays upon your heart. Let's put it before the Lord. God, this is the way to do it. Sister. Let's sing one song, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart. Let's come to God.
I am gone.
Of the officers in the church, pray for each of the ministries and the officers, the musicians, whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, to ask for the Lord to lead us and guide us. That each and every person that holds a position in the house of God, that we be vessels in the hands of God. And that the Lord will order these things according to His will.
Amen.
And guide and lead and help us in these things. We just ask you, brother, if you wouldn't mind coming, Brother Dave, to pray for these things. And the rest of us will agree together,
Amen.
As the Bible says,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us, Lord, tonight.
Yes.
Father God, we really appreciate it, O Lord. Father, we approach you, Lord, with all humility. Father God, Father, with more than expectation, Lord, we have assurance, Lord,
Amen.
That these things which we ask for,
Amen.
Lord, that you will give them to us, Lord.
Amen.
Because, Lord, we know that you can't lie.
Amen.
Lord God, and you desire, Lord, you say that when your people who are called by your name shall gather together, Lord, shall humble themselves.
Amen.
Father, you said you will hear from heaven.
Amen.
Lord, we've humbled ourselves before you, Lord. Father, in obedience to your word. Father God, with joy in our hearts, with expectation, Lord, because we know, Father, when we go about things, Lord, your provided way, Lord, we know that you always meet our needs.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, even as, Lord, we approach thee, Father, much prayer has been made. Lord, as well, we ask you for grace, Lord. Father God, upon the ministry, Lord, even here in this house, Lord God, we appreciate our pastor.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father God, we so much appreciate him, Lord. Heavenly Father, many times, Lord God, we take these things for granted. But, oh Lord, Father, when your spirit comes upon us and we realize what it takes, Lord, for a man to put himself aside, Lord, and just wait upon thee, Father. Lord, and Father God, Lord, just discipline, Lord God, just to wait for you to move, and then he moves after.
Amen.
Oh, Father, please continue to bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, in word, Lord, and in deed, Lord.
Yes.
Father, even in wisdom, Lord, as you have done over the years, Lord, to,
Amen.
Lord, watch over these things, Lord, which you've entrusted
Amen.
Unto him.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord God, for Brother Max, Lord.
Amen.
Father, as he stands as well, faithful, Lord God, bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even where he is now, Lord, we think of him. We know, Lord God, that his heart is here with us.
Amen.
Lord, please touch him, Lord God, and continue to bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we look, Father, even for grace, Lord, upon Brother Max Jr., Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, what would we have known? But, Lord, you knew from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So, God, we pray, Lord, for humility to our brother, Lord, we pray. Because we know that the more that he humbles himself, the more you can use him, oh God.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord God, for even us deacons, Lord.
Yes.
Father, Lord, you know that we need you, Lord.
Amen.
Many times, Lord God, we may think of this or think of that.
Mm.
But, oh Lord, in your kingdom, Lord, it's not what we know with our carnal understanding and knowledge.
Yes.
So, Lord, we're so much dependent upon thee.
Amen.
Help us, oh God, Lord, not to be casual, Lord. Father, in the things that we do.
Yes.
Be merciful to us, Lord, where we slacken, Lord.
Amen.
Won't you please give us strength, oh God.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, to meet the needs, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the musicians, Lord.
Amen.
Even upon this day, Father.
Yes.
We've seen it, Lord, even in your word, even tonight.
Yes.
Lord, what an important part that they play.
Amen.
Father God, all things are ordained by you.
Amen.
And Lord, you love it that way, Lord, that music should go before.
Amen.
So, Father, we ask of thee, Lord,
yes.
that though our brethren, Lord, may have the individual talents,
yes.
but, Lord God, it's not what man can do,
Amen.
But it's what you do with the man, O Lord.
Amen.
So please, O Father, help these musicians, Lord, in their lives.
Amen.
Father God, to be sensitive in how they live.
Amen.
Father, realizing that they're vessels, Lord, that can be used by you, O God. Help them, Lord, in their needs. Bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, give them what they need, Lord, to fulfill, Lord, that which you've given unto them.
Amen.
Father God, we pray, Lord God, for every brother, every sister in this place.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we need you, all of us, oh God.
Amen.
Lord, every mother, Lord, every son, every daughter.
Amen.
Father God, won't you touch them?
Yes.
Lord, even as is the desire of our heart, Lord, you spoke to us, Lord, upon this day.
Yes.
And Father God, Lord, you've called not only us, but our wives, our children,
yes.
from before the foundation of the world, Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, please, Lord, wherever they are, Father God, please touch them. Lord God, those that Satan desires, Lord, to rob from us. Lord, you said it, Lord, that whom the Father has put in your hand, no man can pluck out. So we stand against the enemy, Lord, trying to take our children. Father God, Lord, may your angel, Lord, be the one to fight for them, Father. Lord God, so that in their youth they'll serve you, Lord. Let them not be spoiled by Satan and the world, O God. Father, how we need your grace in these things, O Lord. Father, be merciful to us, Lord. Father, we look to you for all these things. And Father God, our trust is in you. Because, Lord, we've seen it, Father God. You are God of paradox. Father God, even as, Lord, we seen with Jehoshaphat, Lord, when he set things in order, Lord, and was guided and led by you. Father, he didn't even need to fight.
Amen.
Lord God, we seen you, Lord God, even with, Father, just five fish and two loaves.
Amen.
Father, how you not only multiplied it, but you cooked it, Lord.
Amen.
Father, and gave to your children. Father, you are the same God even today.
Amen.
So, Lord God, clear the channels, Lord, in our souls.
Amen.
Because, Father, the only way we can please you is by faith.
Amen.
We desire not to walk, Lord God, by sight or any other way, but by faith, Lord. Increase our faith. Lord, even as the prophet continually told us, Lord, that God loves courageous people.
Amen.
Father, take away the spirit of cowards, Lord.
Amen.
Father, but Lord, we want to stand strong upon your word, Lord. It's not our word, it's your word.
Amen.
And you promised it, oh God. Help us in these things as we go forward, Lord. Father God, Lord, we pray, Lord, even as we depart, our minds, our souls will be with Lord God, the evangelism tomorrow. We're trusting that it will bear fruit, Lord. Father, so we look into you for those things. Anything we may have overlooked, Lord, but Father, we know you see all things.
Amen.
Please be with us, Lord, as we depart from your house, but we know your spirit will be with us. Keep us safe on the roads, Lord. Father, until we meet again in your house, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for the day, Lord, to consecrate ourselves to thee. Father, we thank you once again. In Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Saints, God bless you richly. Thank you very much for the day. Gathering in his house. Let's dismiss as we sing one song. Let me just say, the saints bring evangelism tomorrow. Maybe just the brothers who play guitars, if you could stay as well to make some quick arrangements for tomorrow. And may the Lord be with you until Sunday. In Jesus' name. Time as we discuss.